Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and thank the Lord you're able to join me today. We have been sharing some scriptures on the house of the Lord, that God is establishing a house for all nation, for whomsoever will may come and be a part of His family, where Jesus is. He promised that we also would be with Him, those who accepted His invitation to allow Him to be Savior as well as Lord in our lives. It's the most beautiful thing we can contemplate, because He created man and He knows the things that will ultimately satisfy and fulfill our deepest longings. And just as Adam and Eve enjoyed a perfect existence in the Garden of Eden before sin entered in, so we shall, in the ages to come, experience the beauty and the joy of knowing a world without evil, and only where there will be love and peace and joy and the majesty of our God to celebrate. Can anything be better than that? But we were talking about what Jesus said when He drove out the money changers. He said, "Don't make My Father's house a house of merchandise." Now, they actually, I want to look at it literally and spiritually, there was actually a legitimate need being served by those money changers. For travelers or pilgrims that were coming a great distance, it would be difficult to bring livestock, animals, and also there were whatever currency they had, it had to be changed into temple currency. So they were actually serving a legitimate need. But we see Jesus, He knows the heart, God knows the heart of man, that religion was subservient to secular interests. They were interested in making a profit, obviously. In other places outside of John's Gospel, Matthew, He says, "You've made My Father's house a den of thieves." So they were extorting, getting large profits because of this quote-unquote service. And unfortunately, the New Testament warns us that there will be those in the end days who will have the same kind of mentality. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5, Paul is warning Timothy about false teachers who were doting about questions and strifes of words, the perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain, financial gain, is godliness. From such draw away. And those who make worldly gain, success, profit, wealth, if you will, the end of their godliness and counterfeit godliness, the way to worldly gain, this is not what pleases the Lord. Of course, money is essential. There, in order to preach the gospel today, even to have a local church, there's rent to be paid or mortgages to be paid, utilities to be covered. There is an actual financial need, but this should never be our focus. And as I've shared from time to time, if you desire to become a part of the UCM spiritual family, I do send out monthly letters, but they're letters of encouragement. I don't, unless it's for prayer, share needs. I don't mention finances in my letters. The purpose, I'm trusting God's people are maturing and growing up, and they know that to carry on any ministry, especially media ministry like radio, it's thousands of dollars. And so God has to provide, and we've trusted Him for 50 years to be able to do that. But listen to what Isaiah 55:1 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Praise God. Well, let's look at the spiritual application of the house. That Greek word for house there is oikos, O-I-K-O-S, and that is either the material temple of Jerusalem or the household of God's people. In other words, all who belong to Him. There's a reference in Hebrews, the third chapter, verses 2, 3, and 5, which speaks of Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are we? We are identified as being the house of the Lord, the house of Christ, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. Now, beloved, there are only two spirits in the world, that of Christ and that of Antichrist. There are only two masters in the world, that of God and that of Mammon, those who would serve God and those who would serve Mammon, which is basically the spirit of this world. In Matthew, the sixth chapter, verse 24, it says, we're to seek the kingdom of God first. In other words, giving it preference over that of Mammon. That there's a reference to Mammon, and that Greek term, it means riches, wealth, but it's personified as spoken of as an entity as opposed to God. And beloved, just as we saw in the Gospels, Jesus, at the beginning and even end of his ministry, he cleansed the temple. We can be sure that the heart of God has not changed, that he is desiring to cleanse his temple. Judgment begins at the house of the Lord. So the Holy Spirit, what does that mean on an individual level for you and me? That means he is working on areas in our life that need his cleansing. When we're children, and many times if you've raised children, you can kind of overlook their actions for a time because they're just children, but a time comes in which they need to be accountable and responsible for their actions. And is the same is true of our Heavenly Father. He's a good Father. And so his plan is that the things of this world, the things, the spots, the stains, the wrinkles, the Spirit of the Lord desires to drive out worldly spirits such as idolatry, hatred, wrath, strife, emulations, the kinds of things that Paul addressed to the church in Corinth and also in Galatia, that we would return to the simplicity and the purity of the gospel. He's doing that by cleansing the very atmosphere. Just as heaven, and I've made frequent reference to it these last several days, it's a place of absolute beauty and joy. It is that way because there is no evil there. The very fruit of the Spirit, the characteristics of Jesus' personality, is present. There's meekness and temperance and love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, those things that are outlined in Galatians, the fifth chapter, goodness, faith. Against such, the scriptures actually declare, there is no law. And as I have enjoyed saying from time to time, we are under law, that new covenant law, which is the perfect law of liberty. And so, beloved, God is in process. He's working to bring his church into that perfection that the very body of Christ, the house of God, can be presented to Jesus as a beautiful bride without spot, stain, or wrinkle, and presented to the heavenly bridegroom, where there will be an everlasting and eternal beautiful relationship of intimacy and closeness without any sorrow or tears to mar the perfection of that existence. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, God is involved presently, if you will, as we look to Scripture, the 56th chapter of Isaiah, in a threefold activity, if you will. And I'd like to read Isaiah 56 and 7. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. And I'm just going to have to read 8. The Lord God, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him besides those that are gathered unto him. In other words, he's including all nations of the earth, not only the Jews who were the original chosen people, but the Gentiles, all those who were not of that bloodline, are also included because God, he's created everything for his pleasure. He's created every human being for his pleasure, that we may know, love, and serve him, and be happy with him in this life as well as in the life to come. Praise God. Well, my time is drawing to a close, and we will, with the Lord's help, conclude this, the threefold activity of God on tomorrow's broadcast. But I haven't done it this week, but in the last couple of weeks, I have shared about the fact that UCM is celebrating their 50th Jubilee anniversary. And in honor of that, and to honor Brother Glass, who began the ministry in 1965, I've composed a commemorative booklet of a very short history or biography, you will, and then pictures. And I trust that you would be blessed by them, especially those of you who perhaps have known Brother Glass. He went home to be with the Lord in 97, but many of the folks still remember those glorious services we had. And I'd just like to share a few letters that have come in recently. Dear Sister Judith, thanks so much for remembering my birthday and for the 50th ministry album, that booklet. I met your husband many years ago at a service in San Jose, and what a tremendous blessing I received. I knew it was a direct word from God because I had never met him before. Where have the years gone? Praise God, the rapture is closer. Amen. Again, thanks so much, and God bless you. A sister writing from the San Jose area. And then another letter from a sister writing from Carrollton, Texas. Dear Judith, thank you for sending me your Jubilee 50th anniversary booklet. I enjoyed reading and looking at the pictures of history of ministry. You did a good job of putting it together. Praise God. And then she goes on to share needs. She appreciates the, I always send an enclosure of some kind to encourage or to humorous, and she's saying, I'm going to keep it at hand and reread it every so often. Praise God. Oh, sister writing from Carrollton, Texas. Well, I'd like to make available to you, just upon the requesting, that commemorative booklet. And also, if you go to the website, you can click on Ministry Classics and hear Brother Glass. But if you don't have that availability or would prefer, I do have a CD available entitled Ministry Classics of Reverend Neil Glass in Song and Radio Broadcast. Powerful ministry. If you did not know my husband, I invite you to experience the blessing of his ministry. I love you. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.